The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven, and whose sins you retain, they are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in him. The Gospel of the Lord. I was telling them a little story at Mass this morning. After being married for some 50 years or more, a man died, and his widow was heartbroken because she had lost her soulmate after 50 years. And then a few days before he was due to be buried, she found his will. And she discovered in his will that he had left everything he possessed to another woman. Oh. So needless to say, she became very upset and agitated. And she dashed around to the stonecutter from where she had ordered the tombstone, and she said to the stone cutter, "I want the inscription on the tombstone changed." And he said, "Lady, it's too late. I have already inscribed what you ordered for the on the tombstone. Rest in peace." "Well," she said, "you can add, till we meet again." Well, now that fits in. That fits in very well with the gospel this morning, because I kind of let my imagination run riot for a few moments, and I was just trying to imagine how would I have felt if I was one of the apostles locked in that room, as we're told, for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood among them. Would I have been comfortable? I don't think I would. I don't think I would. How would I have felt had I been Peter? Well, I think my knees would be knocking. If I had been Jesus, or if I had gone into that room in the place of Jesus, what would I have done? Well, I'd have looked at him and I'd say, "Well, you're some bunch, aren't you? You're some pack of cowards, no backbone. When I needed you, where were you? The last time I saw you, you were running. Peter, were you not the one who said to me, even if everybody else forsakes you, I will never let you down. I will never forsake you, even if I have to die with you." Huh. Empty words. Empty words. "Peter, not only you cursed and denied me three times, how do you feel now, Peter?" That's, I think, what I would have done. But the Lord comes in, and this is why it's called Divine Mercy Sunday. And what was the first words he said to them? "Peace be with you." Now, that was a beautiful Jewish salutation. Shalom, shalom. And what it really meant, what that means, is may you become whole in the sight of God. That's the meaning of peace be with you. May you become whole in the sight of God. And so there he was, saying, "Peace be with you." And then we're told later on in the gospel that he breathed on them. What's the significance of that? Well, you go back to right the beginning of creation, the creation of the first man, Adam, and we're told God breathed on him and formed him from the clay and so began humanity. And then we're told Christ came in and he breathed on the apostles. Very significant, because it means he was restoring humanity to its former glory. And that's maybe a bit that we miss in the gospel. In the gospel. And he was totally forgiven anything they had said or done, and calling them back to be one again and to be his followers. Now, what's the significance for you and I here this morning when we listen to that? Well, I hope you believe in God's mercy. God isn't just merciful, God is mercy itself. And no matter what you do, no matter how bad you think you are never too bad to be forgiven by God. God's mercy is infinite. So don't be putting, so many times people have said to me, I feel God has never can never forgive me. Well, where do you get that from? Don't be putting limits. Don't be putting limits on God's mercy. And what about ourselves when it comes to mercy and forgiveness? And that can be a thorny question at times. We must be forgiving people. We must be. We must be people who are merciful. Because how can we expect to receive mercy from God if we're not people of mercy ourselves? Now look where we are today. Just look for a moment. You cannot deny the fact we live in a very divided society today. I mean, there's divisions everywhere. We are totally divided, even in the church and even in our parishes. Very often we are divided. You have the in-group and the out-group, and one will not speak to the other one. We have cliques. That's all causing division. Now, when it comes to politics, people are so divided today. There are families who are split down the middle because of politics. Don't give politics that power. Don't, please. Don't. Our unity is more important than that. Jesus wants us to be one. I love that prayer in the Mass, in the third Eucharistic prayer, and we'll use it this morning. And it's the prayer where the priest prays, "Grant that we may become one body, one spirit." And that's what Jesus wants us to be. And if you are divided, whatever lines you're divided along, whether it is politics or religion or color or race or anything else, you're not a true follower of Jesus. Period. Full stop. That's it. There's no gray area in that matter. No gray area. You have to be. Look, go back to the early church, and we're told their numbers increased every day. They grew enormously. Why? Because people looked at the early followers of Christ. They looked at the early Christians. And what did they see? They said, "See how they love one another. See how they love one another." And they were attracted by that. Now, what have we got to do? What have we got to do? Well, this is what we have got to do. You and I have got to become healers. We got to become a healing influence on our society, on our families, in our parishes. We've got to become a healing influence. Never be a source of division or disunity, but be a healing influence. Don't stop talking to people because of their politics or anything else. Treat everybody the same. Rich or poor, black or white or whatever, we are all creatures of God. We're all one in God's eyes. And God loves each and every one of us infinitely. And all he says, what was the Lord's among his last words? What were they? "Love one another as I have loved you." And please, be a healer. I feel that's our most urgent call today, is to be a healing influence in society rather than a dividing influence. So please listen to the words of the gospel this morning. Listen to those beautiful words. And you, whoever you meet or wherever you are, let your greeting be shalom. Peace be with you. Amen.